Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like, subscribe. Draft season is here. We now know the Raptors will select number 13 in the 2023 NBA draft. At least that's where it is right now. What happens in the future, we'll have to see. But joining me to talk about that pick and their options, Tyler Rooker of No Ceilings NBA. Sir, welcome. Thank you so much for spreading your knowledge to all the Raptor fan base. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much. It feels like it's the perfect time of the year now to talk some NBA draft. Everyone's excited after the lottery, and we all kind of have our spot and where we're picking. And every fan base is like, all right, now we need to figure out who's the names to watch out for. So thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited for this one.
I'm happy Wemby, he's going to San Antonio.
I have two. I'm guilty happy of admitting it. I'm happy to see him go there. Popovich get one more project. But, you know, we were rooting for everyone to get that, but it was nice to see him go to San Antonio. He was happy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you saw that clip of him reacting to the Houston Rockets not being the team he's going to. Yeah. And that's my only point, is that there have been so many prospects, and you probably know too, that just haven't reached their potential, probably because of the team that they were drafted to. I'm happy that he's going to be going to an organization that has a history of making the most out of their centers. David Robinson, Tim Duncan, we know the list goes on. And the connection with Tony Parker, like all this stuff. Like it seems like it's a perfect connection. Yes, I'm sure many people are upset that the San Antonio Spurs are back on the uprise, but I mean, it is what it is. I'd rather he go to a place that he's going to be appreciated and his potential is going to be maximized. Then, I mean, Charlotte, Houston, what's your history? What's your history of making the most out of a player like Victor Wembanyama? Anyway, that's just that.
No, it definitely comes with, you know, being one of those top picks. I think a lot of fans, we get so excited about those lottery picks, but it always does come down to fit in the draft. I feel like going into this, there was a lot of franchises in which Victor Wembanyama could shift the momentum for an organization.
Sure.
But, you know, when it came to San Antonio, that was still one of my favorite fits for him and for the Spurs. I think they need him, and pairing him with Jeremy Sochan should be very exciting defensive upside. Oh, yeah. And just all the connections. It's really cool to see Wembanyama go to the Spurs, and obviously nothing's official, but I think we're all pretty much assuming it's a done deal. Yeah, and it would be safe to say so.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of prospects in this class, I think, that have the potential to end up in really good spots, and some teams picking a little earlier than I was expecting this year.
Sure.
And I think one of those is Toronto. They're going to have a lot of really good, you know, options to select from. I think they're in a good spot.
Yeah. Low key, a deeper draft than I think people probably thought it was going to be. It seemed like, I mean, the rhetoric around this draft was it was top heavy, but now I think it's, as we learn more about it through people like you and the other staff at No Ceilings, is that there's a lot of potential in the middle parts of this draft. So with Tyler, we're going to go through some of these names and also just look at some of the skill sets that the Raptors need. We know the deal. Okay. We know this team pretty well, but until we hear Bobby Webster or Masai Ujiri say, this is what we're rolling with, then we are only here to assume. We think that they want some guard depth. We think that they could use some pick and roll ball handling and someone to play beside Scottie Barnes, but we don't know. So with that in mind, we're going to go through characteristics, some of the player types that are out there and how some of these prospects on the Toronto Raptors could help this team in the future, right now, next season, and all that kind of fun stuff. But before we get to all that, off your what you know right now, the players that could go ahead of the Raptors, the players that could be, you know, probably falling to the latter parts of the draft lottery. I guess that's where the Raptors are, of the first round. Who do you think are like the 2-3 guys that are probably going to be there for the Toronto Raptors that you're like, you probably should nab them?
You know, I think one name that has started to get a lot of steam in draft circles that I think is realistic shot, he could be on the board and could be the type of player that Toronto has a history of kind of targeting is Michigan's Kobe Bufkin. I think that's a popular name to, if you haven't gotten, you know, up to date on his game, it's really, really impressive player. Just one of those guys that I think everyone at No Ceilings, myself included, we keep talking about him throughout the year. We've been like, someone's going to get a steal on this kid. Like, he just does a lot of stuff on the court. Smart player, intelligent, kind of plays at his speed, you know, makes the defense come down to his level. And he's also a pest defensively. He's got good length. He measured around 6'4" without shoes at the combine. So he's got good length and just a smart player. Freshman year didn't play that much. Last year or this year, just fantastic season, just a huge burst. And he's still really young. Technically, he should be a freshman. That's, you know, I think he just turned 19 in February off the top of my head. But that's a name I would keep an eye on. I like Toronto's spot because there's some names I think that could just slip through the cracks and they could get some good value. So,
yeah,
like maybe a movement shooter like Jordan Hawkins of UConn's been a really, really popular name. If you're trying to get someone to play along Scotty Barnes that could just put up buckets in a hurry and kind of create a new wrinkle with his movement shooting and running off screens and everything like that. And then there's the Jed Howards, there's the Grady Dick that should be in that territory. So there's some really interesting names, and I haven't even brought up Keontae George, but it's a lot of offense, a lot of shooting that could be in that range. And, you know, that could be where there's a start of the floor spacers in this class.
So sticking on Kobe for a second, because that's been a pretty trendy name amongst the Raptor fan base. He seems like a player that could really be a three-level scorer in the NBA.
Yes.
You know, and that, I think that's a skill set that is a bit underrated, especially in today's NBA, where there are so many players that are designated roles. And even though you could be able to be a two-level scorer, maybe you got a bit of mid-range and that you believe in, you're not really given the leash to do that. But Kobe seems like the guy that's going to come into the NBA and you're going to see it right off the bat.
Yeah, I he's just one of those guys. Every single time I've turned on tape, Kobe Bufkin's one of those, like, this is just awesome to watch. Like, it's just pleasant how many different areas of the game he impacts. And when you're talking about the three-level scoring, like, he's outside shot is trending the right direction in a hurry. He's shooting like high 80% from the free throw line. He's got good touch, good form. It's consistent. He's patient when it comes to navigating screens, getting to his spots. He's really intelligent with the ball in his hands. Like, he understands how to work angles and attack windows to get to his spots on the court. And that's where I think the mid-range comes alive. And then he's very crafty to finish around the basket. So you're talking about a potential combo guard with good size, good length, still young and, you know, on the right developmental path where we haven't seen the best basketball of his. And I think that's the type of player, especially for the Raptors, you might get him in there and be like, okay, we got two smart players with Scotty Barnes and Kobe Bufkin. And Bufkin just has this, you know, gives me a lot of Mike Conley vibes. You know, he's bigger than Mike Conley, but he just plays that game under control, poised. Yeah. So he's a really popular name right now.
Turns 20 this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that would scare a lot of other teams away, but not the Toronto Raptors. They have no problem taking a 22-year-old, 21-year-old, which, you know, could be a reason why he could be available at the latter parts of the lottery. Other teams are going to say, yeah, but he's 20 years old. And the Raptors are like, he's only 20. That's perfect. Right. I love that kind of stuff. I look at this Raptors team now, and if you watch this past season, you know, having players that could, you know, truly operate in the pick and roll and just have that kind of patience in the pick and roll and comfortable navigating through spaces has been a problem. They really only had Fred VanVleet, and he was overtaxed. He was given a lot of reps that probably he shouldn't have been given all those reps, but there was truly nobody else. And so I think that they realize this. I mean, I hope that they do realize that there has to be a scoring pop coming off from their guards. And I don't know if there really is an option necessarily on this team right now in terms of a person developing into that. So I think they have to go this route. And that's why Kobe he seems like a kind of a natural fit in that capacity. And also you like that he's 6'4", you know, it's not huge, but for a guard, when we're talking about combo guards, that's a huge asset in today's NBA, because especially now with the way teams scheme, 6'4" could mean that you're also guarding threes, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And I, I think one of the, what I love about him in the pick and roll also is he's a really intelligent passer. So you're talking about he's coming off, he's setting up defenders and coming off screens and, you know, throwing live dribble cross court passes for wide open shooters. He understands how to hit the roll man. He's just a really smart player that doesn't play, you know, sped up. Like he's quick, but he's not in a hurry. Like he's really under control. And I think that's
important. So not to interrupt you, but
no,
knowing how to operate at your own pace is so key.
And Jet Howard went down for Michigan for a while and they needed someone badly to step up and Kobe Bufkin stepped up and just one of these guys that I think all of a sudden the confidence was surging throughout the year and you're like, whoa, okay. Mm. And it's one of those, when you go back and watch all of his film throughout the year, you just see some really impressive stuff on a nightly basis of just the competitiveness. And one of my favorite areas of his is his defense. I mean, he has unbelievably lethal hands when it comes to just quick point of attack. Like he gets a lot of steals from just getting right up in you and applying ball pressure. So got a lot of checks, a lot of boxes.
Kaysen Wallace was another name that was kind of in the Raptors area, but it feels like a lot of at least mock drafts have him going quite a bit earlier, around the 7-8 area.
That's probably one of my other favorite guys. You know, Kobe Bufkin and Kaysen Wallace. I've done two defensive breakdowns on both of them, and they have a lot of similarities defensively. I think Kaysen's going to be a steal for some team. Everyone's going to lean on the defensive stuff, but I think coming into this year from high school, I wanted to see if the three-point shot developed. And he had some rough patches this year, but for the most part, it was very, very strong, especially when it came to like catch and shoot offense. I think he's got a lot of tools. I think he's got a lot of upside. And I keep saying, I think he's one of the safest guys in this lottery. And now obviously we're having the combine week with interviews and medical. So there's going to be some stuff that comes out about it. So everyone needs to check out clean. But when it comes to Kaysen Wallace, he's a little banged up this year, but when you see the potential he's had, like he's got great touch. He's crafty, another guy in the pick and roll that can be a really strong asset, but he's just got great shooting touch as well.
Do you think there's a cap on his upside to some degree?
I think it's just with Kaysen, you'd probably, you know, a lot of people have been throwing the Drew Holiday comparisons, which I do think, you know, maybe Drew Holiday coming out from UCLA is probably where you're at with that. I think you're just going to get a lengthy combo guard that maybe you're not chasing the star potential, but maybe you're chasing a guy that's just going to play for a really long time in the NBA and at a high level. And I think even if Kaysen's offense doesn't take, you know, all these steps forward, he's still going to be a really, really special defender. So there's just a lot to like about his game. And I think while he might not have the highest ceiling, he might have like a higher floor, which, you know, that's something that a team like Toronto could say, like, that's what we love. We need to get someone that's just like, okay, you know, sometimes we, at no ceiling,
plop
like,
him in. Yeah. Just plop him in. Right. Yeah.
At no ceiling. Sometimes we like to compare it to baseball. Like, don't swing for the fences. Sometimes you just need a single or a double to take that next step forward at the NBA organization. So maybe Kaysen Wallace is that.
Hey, a steady third pitcher isn't a bad idea either.
Exactly.
Know? Right?
Exactly.
Do you think he's the best option to play off Scottie Barnes? That was one of the criteria that I gave Tyler.
Yeah. There's some names to play off Scottie Barnes. I mean, that's definitely a good one because I think Kaysen, you know, playing alongside Sevier Wheeler at times this year, I think he showed he can be a little bit of a combo guard and play off the ball, doesn't have to have it in his hands. But, you know, around where the Raptors be picking, I think there's some guys that really could thrive if they're looking for someone to play off Scottie Barnes when it comes to catch and shoot threats. Like I haven't even mentioned Keontae George of Baylor. I think that's
Let's talk about him.
I like Keontae a lot. Got to see him in person this year. There's a lot to his game. And I think this is going to be one of those guys that I wouldn't be shocked if heats up throughout the pre-draft process because he was a little banged up to end the season. The efficiency kind of started to struggle. I think he had a lower body injury, but when he's cooking and, you know, if you're measuring the highs of all the prospects, I think Keontae, when he's got takeover ability, you know, going up against Kansas, he showed that where he can just absolutely take over a game. And that's a multi-level scorer. He's a lot bigger frame than people might think. I mean, he's going to be dishing out punishment when it comes to having to guard him every night. And it's weird when I saw Keontae in person, I think at Baylor's site, you know, which we always joke about team sites always round up, but they had him listed around 190 at the time. And I was like, he looks over 200 easily. Like he's just, he's kind of bulky. And
yeah.
I think playing in at Baylor, like sometimes when you're evaluating or scouting, you always have to take in the system or the situation that the player's in. And they had a really talented backcourt with some upperclassmen. And I think it was kind of a lot of, okay, now it's your turn. Here, you take the ball, you try to create. And I think with the additional spacing and talent around, I think Keontae could be kind of a diamond in the rough.
Yeah. And the Raptors have a history with Baylor. They like those players. They like what they offer, the athleticism, the tenacity. They like that system. So that's something to keep our eyes on. Screen navigation in today's NBA. And when I mentioned Cason Wallace and players that can get through screens, that can navigate those and just be a step ahead in terms of reading where screens are coming from, the best angles, that might be one of the more low-key valuable skills for a person to come in. Just having like a next step with that, especially in today's NBA where there's so much switching, pick-and-roll coverages. They have to be spot on, and look no further than today's playoffs. Right now, we're seeing players that are valuable in one series, and all of a sudden they're not anymore, right? Because now you're facing a different matchup, and all of a sudden now you just can't be used in this situation because you don't have the screen navigation skills. We're talking about, you know, D'Angelo Russell now. It's a topic, right? Is he going to be able to play in this series, even though he was so valuable in the previous one? Like, that's the kind of stuff that comes up. And a person like Keontae and Cason, you could see that they're going to battle through that kind of thing. And also, you match up with some of their on-ball skills.
You know, it's one of the things, like, personally, when I'm evaluating, I always will – a lot of people get too excited about potential or the athleticism, and I'm always like, give me the guys with high feel and basketball IQ. Like, I'll always lean on those because those are the guys that are playing in the playoffs. Like, those are the guys that are getting extended minutes and trust from head coaches when the playoff series, and, you know, when you're advancing on, because exactly what you said, like, the playoffs are always about tinkering and adjusting on a gamely basis when you're going up, and then – as the rounds go on, it gets tougher because the competition's getting tougher. So you've got to be able to understand angles and almost lean on fundamentals when it comes to that type of stuff, because the smallest window, you know, gets smaller as the games get tougher, and you got to be able to adjust. So I think that's why guys like Cason Wallace, even Keontae offensively and Kobe Bufkin especially, but those are guys that I just think check a lot of boxes. And you know, obviously, none of these prospects are finished products, and they still got stuff to worry about. But I think a developmental staff's going to iron that out, and I like the potential of all of them.
On Keontae, how do you feel about his off-ball motion shooting? So coming off a pin down and turning into a mid-range jumper, or being able to, you know, come off a curl screen and get in the lane, make the right pass, things of that nature. How do you feel about that?
I think it's strong. If anything, I almost at times watching Baylor this year, I wish they kind of leaned on it a little more, because you will see him run, you know, baseline to baseline, all of a sudden catch and shoot corner three. And he's also got that swagger where he'll hit a couple and then they run that play again. And all of a sudden that defender's flying by and he just hits him with an up fake and side dribble. And it's, he's got a gorgeous shot from outside. So I think with Keontae, if, you know, Raptors fans are passionately like watching his film, don't get too caught up in the percentages. I think going back to his high school tape, his FIBA tape, he can shoot the crap out of the ball. Like, he's a very talented scorer. And when he is heating up, it's, you know, the hoop gets bigger and his range gets deeper. And he's a smart player. And I think the biggest, you know, I know you asked me about the movement shooting specifically, but one of the cherry on top this year with Keontae was his playmaking took off to a level that no one was ready for.
Like, oh man, that's big.
Playmaker. Yeah. So that's where I think, you know, some people could get caught up with the percentages, but you got to look at the bigger picture here. And I think that's one of my favorite fits for the Raptors. If they're trying to get that, you know, offensive burst going along Scotty Barnes, that could make some sense. But yeah, the movement shooting special. I mean, he'll run off of everything, and he can get a shot off at the snap of a finger.
let's stick on this movement shooting aspect here. So there's a few other guys that are in this lottery range that kind of specialize in this a little bit. That's actually like one of their biggest skills. And the Raptors, don't gotta tell anyone, they could use some of that on their roster. Look at the Miami Heat, right? That's why they're here in a lot of ways. The threat of movement shooting, it's being really shown in these playoffs, right? How it can get you through tough situations, how it can just get you some easy offense in terms of just being a threat. And then you can have, you know, slips and cuts and so forth happening off ball. So who are the big threats in terms of movement shooting that the Raptors could be interested in?
I mean, it feels wrong if I don't start out with Jordan Hawkins. You know, of UConn, he's unbelievable to watch. I mean, I've joked about it with some guys. I said, like, I wouldn't want to be an 8-year veteran and be like, okay, you're guarding Jordan Hawkins tonight, because he just runs miles and miles on the court. You know, he's coming off of pin downs, he's coming off of screens, he's running off of four screens and one action. It's just crazy. And then he is violently quick with his release. Like, he can get his shot off of any type of, you know, his feet set, his body's carrying him this way, and it's effective at a high volume. So he's very, very dangerous. And I also think with his game, there's a little bit more creation than I think a lot of people are understanding. I think there's some potential for the mid range, and he also is a little bit sneaky athletic. I hate saying that, but like, he'll out of nowhere just go, you know, jam on someone and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? So I think just a lot of people think he's a one trick pony. I think he's got a lot more to his game. And I think there's some serious versatility just waiting to be unlocked, especially with Jordan Hawkins. Grady Dick's another one of Kansas. Really, really special. I think smart, really smart player off the ball. When you're talking about like backdoor cutting, knowing how to space the floor. And then obviously he's got a nice set shot that he can get hot as well too. So I think those are the two top names to throw out there.
So between those two, who do you think is the better defensively? And is it really, yeah, is there a who about that, or is it like unequivocally Jordan Hawkins?
No, I think it's a lot closer than people probably think. I think a lot of people are going to think Grady Dick isn't a good defender, and I don't think that's entirely true. I think he might be a really good team defender, which is just like knowing rotations, where to put himself, how to make everybody else better. And I think there's some stuff on the ball he'll figure out. But I mean, he's still around 6'7", 6'8", with good athleticism and quickness. And I think he's really intelligent. So, and some people have pointed out that they don't think Jordan Hawkins is a good defender. And I think he's got a lot of potential to be a really nasty defender. I think there's some clips you see this year with.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
UConn, where his help side defense is fantastic. Weak side, I mean, he just is really smart. So I think they both, I don't think they're going to play themselves off the court, if that makes sense. I think they're going to both be good, but I would kind of lean towards Jordan Hawkins there, which might be a little bit of a hot take for some folks, but that's, I've asked around, and I've been told, you know, from some that Jordan Hawkins could be going top 10. Like, there's just a lot of love. There's a lot of intrigue with some guys. Like, they're just like, hey, don't be surprised. Like, that's where his conversation is. So it's a crazy draft this year. It's going to be fun.
And no question, even last year, right? There were guys that were projected to go 12th and then they went, you know, 25th and then vice versa. So it's just the nature of what a team needs. And that's okay. I mean, for a Raptor fan, like Danny Green, when he was here, we kind of got like the tail end of Danny Green's, you know, elite on-ball defensive days, but we saw also his off-ball defense. He always knew where to be, always. And that's why he was able to still, you know, garner minutes at a point of his career where his on-ball defense was kind of trailing off a little bit, is that he knew where to be and that he was able to, you know, muck up driving lanes and get and dig on balls and just be a distraction and a disruptor as well as be a movement shooter. So I'm excited about either of those guys. I think I like that Grady Dick. I mean, he's 6'8", 205. 6'8 means something. I mean, we're still talking about, you know, players that you can guard a one or a two or a three, but 6'8 is 6'8. It's not 6'5, which is what Jordan Hawkins is. So there is obviously a height difference there. And it reminds me actually of it was Austin Reeves. He was closing out on Michael Porter Jr. on a few shots. And we're just seeing the difference. But he could not get up there. There was no way. Right. It was not possible. So this is where a Grady Dick could be more beneficial than a Jordan Hawkins, right?
Right. It makes sense. I mean, that stuff starts to it's funny how it never matters until you get to this part of the playoffs. And then it's like, oh, that matters. That's when it starts to really make a difference. Yeah. So I get it. You know, and that's the thing with Grady Dick is you have to constantly remind yourself like, oh, he's 6'8". Like he's 6'8". He looks like he's 6'4". And then all of a sudden you're like, no, he's 6'8" and can do all this stuff. So they're both dynamic. They're both special and they're in different ways. And I think they're both going to be good players.
Everything nowadays with the Raptors, I mean, you probably saw from afar that everything that I see with the Raptors now, it's like, how does this help them win playoff rounds? That's all I look at. I care very little about the regular season. Yeah, okay, there's funky 6'9 thing. It had some glimmers of hope at points of this season, obviously last season. But now it's like, how do you make sure that you have a 8-man rotation that is going to work in the playoffs as well? And what are the pitfalls of it? What kind of additions do you need? And that's why I'm so excited about a few of these players. Like we have seen, I mean, you probably know better than I do, the kinds of players that historically have been taken around 13, like there are some really good ones, really good ones.
Really
so
good.
There's something here. Yeah.
I think it's, you know, we always get caught up with like the top five, who's going early. And I think all the smart teams down there is like, you get really good value if you just be patient and let the board fall to you. We see all the time, we go back and, you know, we see the popular redraft exercise and names just go spiraling up boards. And it's like, yeah, that's a reason because you can find value all over if you're patient and just trust your scouting department. And I think there's always a range in every draft in which, you know, things can get really interesting. And I think when you get past, you know, the top five, top six, I mean, even top four in this draft, things could go any other direction. There's a lot of wild cards. There's a lot of guys that could go five or 11. I mean, it's just a really fascinating range. And obviously some answers are going to get cleared up, I think, with the buzz coming in from the combine in the upcoming weeks. But it's going to be a really fun draft because, you know, obviously Victor was the grand prize. But, I mean, now it's at two. Everyone's like Scooter or Brandon Miller. It's just it's a fun time of the year.
Portland has a mess to figure out. I'm curious what they do. If they indeed are like, we still want to build around Dame, then that means that number three pick is available. Hello, Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Now we're having fun. There we go.
Well, we're gonna be having fun. I have no doubt about it. There's gonna be, I mean, the NBA is ridiculous with the transaction that we see get pulled off. 3 and D. Who is your 3 and D creme of the crop player in this draft? I still see, and I'm saying this because I'm also going to ask Tyler about who his vision 6'9 guy is, because we know Raptor fans, okay, I mean, it may be painful and we're talking about guards and shooting and stuff like that, but the Raptors are the Raptors and they could just double down on this vision if they find a player that they really like. So, but first off, 3 and D, who is your the top tier 3 and D player, person that you think that has the most upside? And this actually would probably be similar to a Cason Wallace to a degree, is like you are filling a role because they still believe if they come back next season with a very similar team, minus, you know, a few players here and there, a 3 and D could be valuable. So,
3 and D, you know, I'll give some love to Taylor Hendricks. I really like his game. I think he's going to be a floor spacing, you know, bigger, if you want to put it that way. I think he's more of the traditional like power forward, but the defense is really special. So I'll give some love to him. I'm going to give a little bit of an outside of the box one, just because that's what I do. But I'm a big fan of Colby Jones from Xavier.
Okay.
Might be a little rich for the Toronto Raptors and some of their fans, but I think he's one of those, does a lot of really good stuff on the court, really smart player. Some games he takes over with the scoring, some games he takes over with playmaking. He's a winner. He wants to do everything, and he can play defensively and make an impact. So that's just one of those guys. The 3-and-D is tough with this class because I see a lot of guys that I'm like, well, they can really shoot. And I'm like, am I leaning on them for defense though? Like, could they develop into that? Probably Jordan Hawkins, like we just talked about, is probably one of those guys I think that could get in that conversation. And, if I want to get really crazy, if the shot continues to develop, Asar Thompson, but you know, now we're going up the board and I don't know if Toronto is going to be aggressive to get up that direction. So I have to put a disclaimer out that I'm trying to be towards Toronto's pick because obviously I could just be like, well, Victor, right? No. So.
Sure. I gotcha. There's a few other names here that I've seen, you know, connected with the Raptors. Derek Whitehead is another one, and Nick Smith Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Derek. What are your thoughts on him? 42% from three this past season. Not bad.
Derek is a really...
Sorry, Derek.
No, you're okay. Because I do it all on our podcast for No Ceilings. I think I miss someone's name like every single episode. So it's okay. We're fine. Derek's a tough one because coming into this year, he was a preseason, you know, top five pick. Everyone thought that highly of him. He's around 6'7" with good size, good strength, good length. Like, he checks a lot of boxes. And high school, he was extremely explosive. It's just been a weird year because high school, you're like, man, if the shot's the only thing that needs to come around. And then he has a preseason lower leg injury, misses a lot of time, comes back, just didn't look like he looked like he was 50%, just the explosiveness wasn't there.
Sure.
It never really came around. I think there was even a post game interview and he was just like, everything's so fast, I'm just trying to catch up. Like, and I was like, that tells you a lot about a kid, you know, who's been dealing with a tough year so far. And he has a lot of talent, a lot of intrigue, but had another lower leg injury that I think he was out a couple games and had to try to play through. So just had the surgery to clear everything up. Hopefully it's fine because the explosiveness never looked like it was coming back. But the positive side of that was his shot looked fantastic this year. I mean, it really developed in a really strong way. So now there's this balance of, well, if you're getting the pre-high school Derek with the explosiveness to match the outside shot developing that he just had, then you might find gold. And that's the range in the draft where, you know, the Raptors, if they're entertaining that idea, you're going to have to lean on your scouting department. You got to go back and, you know, I even asked an executive around the league. I was like, how do you go with that mindset with players like that? And it's like, you have to trust the player and everything that happened before this year. And if they're a hard worker, they got the intangibles, and if everything checks out, then yeah, you roll the dice. But he's like, it's really hard. He's like, it's really, really difficult. So
sure.
Derek's still got a lot of fans. I think he's got the talent to be a top 10 player in this draft, but it's just, can everything check out healthy? And I hope it does.
Interviews are very important with the Toronto Raptors, yes. I guess for many teams as well. But I mean, the Raptors, I can see them, if it comes down to two players, they might go with the one that they trust more in terms of the interview, how they present themselves. And I mean, all these are leap of faith, right? There have been many players who have not worked out and others who have worked out and they were the 40th pick or whatever the case is. So that eye contact, the conversation, they value a lot. Nick Smith Jr., your thoughts, sir?
Another difficult one that sort of, similar storylines to Derek, but a little bit different. So another guy that was projected potentially to be even a top three pick coming into the year. Same story with just, he's had some knee problems, some injuries. He's been puzzling because obviously it's tough with him. You have to weigh the situation at Arkansas this year, you know, didn't have a lot of spacing on that team. They didn't have a lot of, you know, shooters, Trevon Brazil gets hurt in the beginning of the year. He looked like he was potentially going to enter as a late first round pick at some point if he kept going that way. And Anthony Black obviously is fantastic, but he wasn't, you know, making teams terrified from deep. So
sure.
Nick Smith comes back, kind of tries to play catch up, and he always looked sped up. He never looked really just like things were slowing down. And
yeah,
I think now teams are at a point where they're saying, okay, is this more of a combo guard or more of like a Tyler Hero that can really space the floor as a shooter, but there's not that, you know, franchise point guard potential that we might've thought coming into the year. And obviously another guy that needs to check out with medicals and everything like that. But I think he's also the name to keep an eye on throughout the pre-draft process. Cause you know, Nick Smith can shoot. So if he gets in a gym, it wouldn't shock me if all of a sudden it's like, well, Nick Smith, you know, tore the net apart at his workout. He couldn't miss. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I understand that part of his game because he's got a beautiful shot, but it's the rest of the game that seems to still be kind of all over the place. And it's just a tough year. I mean, we've seen this happen all the time with some highly touted, you know, freshmen. It's just not everyone finds their groove right away. Jaden McDaniels at Washington was a projected top five preseason pick. He ends up going late first round, and that's looked good for Minnesota. I mean, it happens all the time.
Nature of the draft, nature of the combine. That's why it's like the last ditch effort to make your impression, and all of a sudden that you can really turn some scouts' heads. A few more for you, going back to kind of the characteristics, that kind of a thing with some of the players. Pull-up shooting, especially in mid-range area, three-point range. I think that's another thing that's has been shown in these playoffs, being able to get your shot off quickly so teams can't go under on pick and rolls. That helps your spacing. Also, it's just like if you want to be an elite NBA scorer, if you want to be, you know, the creme de la creme, as I've talked about, your pull-up three has to be there. Jason Tatum, game seven, that was ridiculous. You know, I'm sure you were shouting. You were shouting many, many things during that because that was exceptional. He has like a bunch of games where he's not right, then all of a sudden he's like, nah, I'm still him. We're good. We're him. All good. No problem. But yeah, pull-up shooting, especially in the pick and roll, the best player in the pick and roll in terms of ball handling. It's kind of a lot of different characteristics, but is there a person that you go – teams are going to have fits with him when it comes to their coverages and their screening because of how versatile of a scorer he is.
Yeah. I'm not trying to use Scoot Henderson from every, you know, one of these categories. So I'll keep staying away from that, but obviously Scoot would have been one of my answers. I'm trying to give new prospects. So I'm going to go with,
but if not though, that's okay. Actually, okay, okay. If it's the same person that we talked about, it actually just kind of emphasizes the point why he might be the person. So that's okay.
Pull-up shooting, I'd still probably put Jordan Hawkins in that category, but another one that really jumps to me personally, and I think I'm a little higher on him than some, is Jalen Hood-Schifino of Indiana.
Okay.
I could see this being kind of a wild card Raptors target, if you want to put it that way, just because really crafty ball handler with fantastic size. I think he had almost like a 6'10 wingspan. I might be wrong off the top of my head, but he's around 6'6. He looks like a point guard. He handles like a point guard, but he's got that size and he's fantastic in the mid range when it comes to just running off pick and rolls. And every time he sees the elbow and it's wide open, he's like, all right, pull up jumper. Like I'll pick that apart.
Sure.
Really good playmaker too. So like if the three-point shot comes around, you've got a really smart, unique weapon with that size. And I think he's also got – in high school, he showed some nastiness on the defensive side of the ball. And I think there were some flashes at Indiana, but, you know, Toronto might see that as a developmental opportunity where it's like, okay, we have Scottie, and now we have Hood-Schifino playing off of him. That might be really intelligent. And you go watch his game against Iowa, and that's a really quick sales pitch of like, okay, well, I'll buy into Jalen Hood-Schifino. So I like him a lot there. I'm trying to think what else. So you said just pull up shooting.
Well, actually, let's go to best pick and roll operator. Okay. Let's go to that now. Who do you think is that person? Again, it's okay to double up a little bit. If there's someone that comes to mind for you.
I would start with Scoot there. I think Scoot's very, very dangerous in the pick and roll. At 13, I don't know if it makes sense, but you know, another name I'll throw out there is Marcus Sasser of Houston.
Okay.
I love him. And he was on Synergy's one of the best rated pick and roll guys this year. Really, really competitive, gritty. I mean, he's an upperclassman, so, you know, he's going to get projected late first round, which is fine. But I think he's a really, really, you know, dangerous. Maybe this is a guy that Toronto could try to trade back into the end of the first round to get or something like that.
Hey, man, but the Raptors are known to do that. They
exactly.
would.
Exactly.
When they find their guy, they have their guy.
Yes. Go get your guy. And I love Masai's always, you know, willing to go get be aggressive. So, you know, Keontae's probably in that category. Hood-Schifino, again, I think those are guys that are all very dangerous in the pick and roll because Keontae was one of those like, oh, pick and roll, he just pulls it from deep. But now it's, oh, the playmaking's also become a really strong weapon of his. So those guys all really thrive in that. And then obviously Anthony Black from Arkansas should be in that conversation too when it comes to just his vision and playmaking ability. But I think the next part of his game is just unlocking that outside shot a little bit more.
And it's hard to bank on those going into the NBA because I think it gets to a point where there's a ceiling to the shooting. Even if you're a 28% three-point shooter at the end of your career, you may have only gotten to like 34, 35.
Right.
And that's okay, right? Because that's still a huge jump and you deserve credit for that. But what if you get someone that's like 32, now they become 38. Now we're talking in today's NBA. So when I pitched, you know, doing the podcast with me, I said, you know, defense and shooting are probably the things the Raptors want the most. And I think that still probably remains, even after hearing all these names, they feel like they can teach a person to have a better feel for the game. Pick and roll ball handling, though, that probably is a unique skill. And I'm sure they could want a little bit more of that. But this is another question. What do you want to do with Scottie Barnes? What's his role next season? Is Fred VanVleet going to be back next season? What the hell do you want to do? Who the hell's your coach? A lot of things with these Toronto Raptors that we're still trying to figure out. Okay. Final one for you. And this has been great. Very great knowledge. So thank you for this. One player that you're just like, this could end up being one of the best players in this draft. And I think he's probably a little bit too low on mock drafts right now.
Okay. I was going to say Jairus Walker there until you said too low on mock drafts. And I said, okay, let me rule that one out real quick.
Because Jairus is probably going to be gone by the time comes around, right?
Yeah, he definitely.
So I guess it is a bit of a sleeper. I guess is what we're looking for. Gigi Jackson. Also, I want to get your thoughts on him.
Yes. We could. Okay, I'll give you two, and then we can talk about Gigi. I'll start with Gigi. Gigi, I think, has top 10 talent in this class. I think he's got as much talent as anyone. When he's cooking and everything's clicking on tape, it is unbelievably special what he can do. Mm-hmm. And reclassifying, he's one of the youngest players in this class. You have to remind yourself, like, he's supposed to be a freshman this upcoming season. So what he was doing in the SEC at that age, remarkable. But there's just some shot selection that he's gonna have to iron out because it's not gonna last with the veterans on a roster. They're gonna be like, what are you doing? And he needs to go to an organization that will be patient and develop him and hold him accountable.
Sure.
And Toronto would probably be one of those where if they buy in and the interviews go well and all of that stuff, absolutely they would jump all over it because he has the tools to be an offensive weapon. I think defensively he's shown some stuff as well too, but there's maturity and it's expected with, and I'm not trying to say that in a negative way, it's expected with someone that young that's trying to play at that level. So
19, right?
Yeah, I think he just turned 19. So ridiculous. I mean, he's got so much upside at that height, that shot making. It's really special.
Also, people, 6'9", 215.
Yeah.
That's 6'9", for all the Raptor fans. 6'9", 215. So we know our relationship with the height of 6'9". Keep that in mind.
Another name I'll give, I really think this could be, you know, a couple of years you could find out that you have gold with this kid, but kind of a late bloomer. I really like Maxwell Lewis of Pepperdine.
Okay.
Around 6'8", lengthy. He's a late bloomer. He started getting serious about basketball late in his career, but it's pretty remarkable what he has shown on the offense side of the ball. And for about 75% of the year, 50%, if you want to put it that way, he was putting up insanely efficient numbers at a high volume and then kind of hit that wall, which is always expected. But, you know, Jalen Clark of UCLA, we had on our No Ceilings podcast, and, you know, he talked about one of the toughest guys to deal with. And he's like, Maxwell Lewis has all the tools to be a serious bucket getter. and they trained together, and it was just high praise because Jalen Clark's, you know, I think he was Pac-12 defensive player of the year. So I think Maxwell Lewis has got a lot of tools that if you're just smart and let everything come together, you get a really, really dangerous wing that can score at three levels in a lot of ways. And he's got athleticism. He checks a lot of boxes.
Beautiful. And we haven't talked about this yet, but the patience and what is the expectation for this player when it comes to the Toronto Raptors? Do they want them to be instant impact? Because there are some players that could be, you know, maybe to a smaller degree, but there can be players that can come in right now, probably, you know, early stretch of the season, they get their reps in and they could be a rotation piece on whatever kind of style they want to go with. But a person like Gigi Jackson, you could say, hey, man, 3-4 years down the road with some seasoning, some time with the Raptors 905, this could be a guy, like a true guy. And I don't know where the Raptors are going to be going with this. I don't know where they're going with their franchise, their roster. That's why it was very helpful to have you on. It was greatly appreciated. I learned a lot. I hope everyone else did as well. Once again, where can people find your work and what's coming up?
I'm at NoCeilingsNBA.com. For everyone listening, just go check it out. We talk about the draft all year and all of our content is completely free. And we've got a NBA draft guide that we've been working very hard on that'll be released very soon. I think the 22nd. So
beautiful.
Thank you guys. Or thank you so much for having me on. I was very excited about this and let's get the Raptors a good one. I'm excited for this draft for them.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed your time on the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Everyone, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you very soon. All the best.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.